This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA, it's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the GSMC Sports Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jeff Malinoff, and boy, we've had some exciting Sweet 16 games already, and we're halfway there to find out who's going to be in the Elite Eight. We had an overtime thriller between Purdue and Tennessee we're going to be talking about mainly. We also have some trades and signings in the NFL to be discussed that were kind of big news, as well as Sean Payton kind of bashing on some head coaching signings, which is pretty entertaining, as well as more news about the NBA and banning fans from arenas, this time in Boston. We'll talk about that and the reason for it, and anything else that needs to be discussed, we will discuss. So, let's get right into it. The Sweet 16, heading into the Elite Eight. We have four participants already in the Elite Eight, and we had some games yesterday, most notably between Purdue and Tennessee, as Purdue hang on to win in overtime 99-94 over Tennessee in one heck of a game. Of course, Edwards, who might get like most outstanding player if they win the tournament for Purdue, does. He had another amazing game with 29 points. Klein himself had also 27. And it was just a great game to watch all around if you missed it. But Purdue was up 40-11 going into the second half, but man, Tennessee went on a run, got them in overtime, but it wasn't enough. But hats off to Tennessee for an amazing season. They're probably going to be back again real soon. So, but Purdue gets into the Elite Eight for the first time since 2000, so almost 20 years. And I believe last time, or let's check last time they were in the Elite Eight, shall we? They lost to Wisconsin 64-60 in 2000 in the Elite Eight, and they really haven't made it to the Final Four since 1980, and they have not won a championship. They were runners-up in 1969, but that is as close as they got. This was Purdue's third straight entry into the Sweet 16, so they lost last two appearances they were in the Sweet 16, so good on them to get over that hump and get into the Elite Eight. But there's still a lot more to come throughout this tournament. And looking at it right now, it's going to be interesting to say the least. If we're looking at the brackets at the moment, it will be Virginia versus Purdue in the Elite Eight. And it's funny how Virginia went on to lose to Baltimore County last year and now are in the Elite Eight this year. That's a good turnaround. They almost did lose to number 12 Oregon. So it was interesting to say the least how this team doesn't really handle well against low-seeded teams for some reason. But regardless, they are facing Purdue. And I did pick Purdue to win the national championship. I did predict to win the whole tournament. So I'm going to keep on with that. And they have proven why I picked them. They just have some great players all around. That is the only official matchup that's... I'm sorry. We have Gonzaga and Texas Tech also in the Elite Eight as well. And I'm pretty sure the winner of those two games face each other when it comes down to the Final Four. I could be wrong on that, but we'll see. As for Texas Tech, they had a... I'm not going to say exciting game, but they had a game against Michigan. Michigan were the runners-up last year, but cannot repeat that same magic this year as they fall 63-44. I mean, the first half was 24-16. It was dull. I really don't know what else to say about that. It was just dull nonetheless. And there's like, and it's really hard to look at, but they had a 17-0 start this season, and it's just a disappointing way to end it, not even getting to Elite Eight. But Texas Tech keeps on holding on. They're, I know they're number three, but I guess you can call them the underdogs in this situation. If you had a, I guess maybe Purdue is. It's really hard to pick a underdog per se in this year's league because, like I was saying before in earlier podcasts, this is a very top heavy year. And, like, I guess since Virginia Tech is the lowest seed in this at number four, that's continuing to stay in it at least, they're the underdogs. Of course, they are facing Duke, so they might not make it past them. But it is very interesting to see what the other two games in the Elite Eight will be. But it's going to be interesting to say the least. The other games that are happening, like I said, are Virginia Tech and Duke today, as well as Michigan State and LSU, Auburn and UNC, and of course Houston and Kentucky. So obviously all these, Auburn is the fifth seed, so I guess they're the lowest. It's honestly, is fifth seed really that low in this circumstance? They had to face a lower seed, a number 12 seed at this point. During the in the beginning of the round, so they didn't really have any much to overcome, to be honest. So there's not a lower seeded team. So with that being said, is this a predictable Final Four, a future Final Four, and possibly the three of them being a number one seed, like I was predicting earlier? Or maybe there's more to it than we think. Maybe there'll be a 5 seed in there and a 4 seed in there. Maybe Virginia Tech, will pull off quite possibly the impossible, facing the Duke and Auburn facing North Carolina. So there is a lot of adversity to overcome if you're the lower seed teams, but. I was talking about this with some people earlier, but imagine the hype and hype in general, if it was between UNC and Duke in the final, in the national championship game, which is very possible. That is, I think I already discussed this, but I can't get over the fact how huge that would be. And it's just, it will be one hell of a game. If Purdue doesn't make it, I hope it's Duke versus North Carolina, because that would be maybe the college basketball game of this century. Like, the most viewed basketball game ever, like, ever, regardless of league or anything, is between Indiana State and Michigan State when Larry Bird and Magic Johnson faced one another in the national championship game. And the second highest rated is half of what Michigan State versus Indiana State Magic versus Bird did. That's how insane this would be. I would say I don't think it will catch that, to be honest with you. But I would definitely put that this is a contender for one of the most viewed, would be the contender for one of the most viewed games of all time in basketball. But like, it would compete with the finals. I think it would get more views than the NBA finals. And, yeah, it just would be that it would be such good business in that kind of sense. Hopefully they won't, the NCAA doesn't rig the game or anything like that. I don't think that's going to be the case. But regardless, I think it's more along the lines of just what's the best matchup for the national championship. And quite frankly, it's North Carolina versus Duke. I mean, the storylines are written for themselves. Zion didn't play in the last two games due to injury, and then when he returned in the tournament, they defeated North Carolina. So North Carolina has a lot to prove if they can beat Duke with Zion. They beat Duke multiple times without Zion, so that is a bit of a what you would call an asterisk in this rivalry this year. So it would definitely be one of the most interesting matchups in college basketball history in the national championship game, if that is the case. But both teams are barely, Duke barely has hung on to where they are now. So we'll see how they can handle themselves against Virginia Tech this upcoming game today. But honestly, like, I'm loving the tournament. Like, I wish there were more upsets. Absolutely. I love the fact that a number 16 seed won last year, and I love when a 15 seed beats a 2 seed, and so on and so forth. I think it's like that opportunity of like anything can happen type of scenario. I think everyone thinks that as well. I don't think anyone expects those type of teams to make it to the Final Four or anything like that. But I mean, look at Loyola Chicago last year. They made it to the Final Four, and they were the talk of the nation. So it's always great to have some underdogs, but it's also great to have the elite teams go at it one-on-one, you know what I mean? It just feels like if you want the most entertaining games, you have to play the best teams against one another, and right now the best teams in the country are facing each other. I mean, that's just – I mean, it was proven with the Tennessee versus Purdue game. Like, those two teams are two of the best teams in the nation, and they proved it out there, and they proved it against one another. And Purdue is showing why they deserve to be there. And it's just one of those instances where you're looking at it and going, this is what we pay to see. This is what basketball is all about. This is what the tournament's all about. But every bracket has been broken officially. I think CBS Sports, all their brackets are broken. I'm pretty sure there's no other perfect bracket out there in the world right now. If there is, I'll be shocked. But they're obviously not for like $1 million or anything like that. So with that, I guess, even with how it's like, and all the 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 seeds are in it, you know, it's like the lowest seed is a 5 seed, and yet no one predicted this Sweet 16 to happen and this Elite 8 to be as it is already. So it's truly remarkable to see how much has changed. Or how much people expected upsets this season, I guess. But like I said, I thought it was top-heavy. And we'll see how everything turns out these games. I'll preview. Let's just look at the games that are on today. Besides, let's just preview them. I'll just do my predictions right now. The first game on today is LSU versus Michigan State. And I picked LSU to win before. And I think I'm going to stick by that. I also said UNC over Auburn. I said Duke over Virginia Tech. And I said Kentucky over Houston. But I might change that to Houston. I've seen them, like watching them play back again. I think they have a real shot at upsetting Kentucky for sure. But we'll see how everything turns out when it comes down to it. Obviously, those games start around 4. I think I saw one time at like 4:09 p.m. I was like, that's the Pacific time. I was like, that's extremely odd to have that happen. Why is it so specific? 4:09 p.m. Why not just say 4:09 p.m. 30 seconds? You know, just make it super specific. Obviously, there's stuff I don't know about the timing of shows and networks and stuff like that, but doesn't 4:09 just sound strange? Like 1:05 p.m. For football games sometimes on the Pacific Coast is always odd to me. Like, at least that's like on the clock, it's on one of the big numbers, you know, it's on 5, it's on one, it's on the big one, like, so 5, 10, 50, 20, but 09, like, that's just, I think that's a little much. Maybe not a little much, maybe that's the wrong word to use, but I think it's more along the lines of just, like, that's just unnecessarily specific, you know, it just, to me, it feels more along the lines of just, like, doesn't need to be like that. Again, I'm not a part of a network or anything. I don't really know how it all works, but I just look at it 4:09 and have a big question mark on my head. But I'm looking forward to all the games. I know you are all too. And we are going to take a short break. When we come back, we will be talking about the NFL a little bit, as Sean Payton had some choice words for certain head coaching signings, and we're going to talk about that when we return.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news, both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the GSMC Sports Podcast. We just finished talking about the Sweet 16 matchups that happened yesterday, as well as the today's matchups and the time that they are playing, and as well as who's in the Elite Eight and Purdue and all those other good things. Now, let's move on to some football talk, as Sean Payton had some choice words to say about some head coaching hirings. Basically what he said was this: ultimately, you would say, if we did a little history, successful head coaches probably come from the East and the West and North and South. They probably come of both color, and they probably come on defense and on offense, and they're good leaders. The lack of diversity also had led to some calls for action. That's an interesting take on it. And he was also just saying, he capped off by saying, some teams are making mistakes and the Saints cannot wait to play them. And they're so focused on getting the next Sean McVay that other qualified coaches are getting pigeonholed. Never heard that saying before, for getting an opportunity to prove themselves. So he basically is disagreeing with a lot of the choices that the some NFL teams are making regarding what you're looking for in a head coach. So a lot of teams have signed a lot of young, inexperienced coaches, and they're looking for that Sean McVay type of thing where it's like, let's give this guy an opportunity. He could totally become this guy, and we can get to the Super Bowl in a couple of years. When in reality, Sean McVay's a very rare, he's rare. That's just the bottom line. He's a rare piece of coaching prowess that gets a, that can just, he has the charisma and he has the ability to really rally teams or players around him. And it just, there, he knows what to do on the offensive side and gets the job done. He knows how to work everybody around, and he just has a very talented team around him as well. And obviously some coach hirings were, they were not controversial, but questionable. Again, based on age and experience and that kind of stuff. And so with that being said, it's interesting to say the least how these coaches will do. We don't know how the coaches will do yet. Obviously, these a lot of first-year coaches will see how each of them play out. And six of the eight new head coaches hired this offseason came from an offensive background. And two of them were offensive coordinators. Actually, three of them were offensive coordinators last season. And with that being said, it is turning into an offensive league. That is for sure. And a lot of these guys are young and haven't had head coaching experience, like I said before. So it's interesting to see what you're looking for mainly in a head coach nowadays. But I'm going to be optimistic about these head coaches until I see them play in the regular season, until they play teams, until, like, how they're going to do. And, of course, you can't look at one-year coaches and think that's what they're going to be the rest of their careers. I mean, look at Bill Belichick. Like, I was watching Football Life the other day, yesterday, and I was watching the 1995 Browns. And Bill Belichick coached there for, like, four and a half, four or five years. About four years. And he was starting really to win. He was starting to win some winning. He was getting a winning season with the Browns in 95. They were actually projected to go to the Super Bowl by some experts. Then, of course, the news of them moving to Baltimore came and everyone just kind of lost faith, I guess. And it's understandable when you're just crushed like that type of thing. So that's just a, more of a moral, like, just setback in one thing, like, in one way or another. And then also, like, Bill Belichick, again, we all know what happened with him. Nick Saban was part of that coaching staff, and they both became two of the most successful head coaches in both college and NFL, respectively. So, with that being said, you, like, obviously the firing of Wilkes last season when it came to firing Arizona's head coach after 1 year, obviously it was premature by some people, and others said they didn't see much out of him. But again, we'll see how that goes down. We'll see how his future holds. Maybe he gets another opportunity to be a head coach somewhere else. We'll see. But and I think that a lot of coaches are in a pressured situation to win now. Except for, like, some coaches that get these multi-year, like, obviously John Gruden, 10-year contract. He wasn't supposed to win now. He was supposed to win when they get to Vegas. And same with Kyle Shanahan. He got a 6-year contract with a 6-year contract for the general manager, so they had a chance to rebuild as well, with their looking good as well. Raiders just got Antonio Brown, so we'll see how they end up. They have 5 first-round draft picks in the next 2 years. So, you know, they could be looking good for the future as well. So, in my mind, I've always thought, give coaches time. And some teams just don't. You know, you can't give a guy a 2 to 3 year deadline when a lot of these teams need, like, a 5-year plan when they get a new head coach. But they see these guys who come right out of the gate winning with a team. But when you're looking at those teams, they were built to win right then. It just, the previous head coach wasn't getting the job done. Sometimes you just need a new change in scenery or a new change in coaching to really move a team up. And a lot of times teams think they have the talent and then all they need is a head coach and boom, they're champions. But in reality, they need everything. They need a lot more than what they think they need. And that's when they blame the head coach and use that maybe as a scapegoat, in my opinion, to really not blame themselves. So that's just that's always been my take on it. And with that, I always think, like, coaches should get at least a 5-year contract. Because I think 5 years is a good point to where you're looking at it and going, okay, I get it. That makes sense. That's a logical length of time to build a team. And maybe 10 years is a little long. $100 million is a little much. But that isn't my choice to make. And then also we're sticking with the NFL here. The NFL is waiting on the Tyreek decision until authorities close the investigation. So the NFL is not going to discipline him until they figure out what everything is going on, which they always should have done. They have multiple times suspended players without the investigation being finished or the investigation being closed, and they just hear what's going on. And so I've never really liked that per se. So I'm very happy that they're actually going to be patient with this instead of just pulling the trigger right away. And, you know, I just think they should keep this kind of idea for the foreseeable future. I just think overall it's the right thing to do. like wait till you have all the evidence before you make an abrupt decision about a player's suspension or anything like that. Because there's been multiple times over where the NFL like supposedly doesn't have any evidence and they suspend the guy for an extended period of time. So I just think like maybe be a little patient, you know. My opinion, at least, like you got to be a little patient when it comes to this kind of thing, because it's a very sensitive subject and you don't know what's right and wrong in this circumstance. You know, you don't know what's the actual situation and what's the real stories behind it and what else is going on. And that's just basically how it goes. Like, I just think sometimes the NFL pulls the trigger. I think everyone can agree that the NFL sometimes pulls the trigger way too early when it comes to suspensions and such like that. So, as of right now, we really don't know anything about the case when it comes to Tyreek Hill. We don't have all the information. But if it does turn out that he is going to be suspended for an X amount of games, that really puts Patrick Mahomes in a tough spot right away. And what I mean by that is, first he loses Kareem Hunt, which everyone thought that would be a big, it was a blow to the team, but he still had a great wide receiver, one of the best wide receivers in the NFL and the best tight end in the NFL. But if he loses one of that as well, if he loses Tyreek Hill, does that mean he's not going to have another great season? Or is this going to be like, this is a season that he needs to prove that he deserves to be where he is and deserves to be an MVP, not just because of how talented the team is around him. So this is definitely like a, if there is no Tyreek Hill for this season, this is definitely going to be a prove it year for him to say, hey, yeah, I had a great team around me, but I did my part to make sure everyone was won games and I was the MVP because of my own volition. But I honestly believe he is that talented. I honestly think he deserved that MVP. It's just, I think for the doubters, it's that situation where you're looking at it and going, yeah, well, he had these amazing guys on his team that many would die for. You know what I mean? It just, I think it's going to be the point where you're looking at it and going, well, if he can't get it done this year without Tyreek Hill and without Kareem Hunt, then maybe this was all a fluke. I can understand that argument, to be completely honest. But overall, I think that he's going to be fine. I think the Chiefs are just fine. I think Andy Reid's the perfect kind of coach to work around that kind of, crutch, in a sense. I think it's more of a crutch than anything else. But yeah, well, that's just how all of these things are going to go down. But we're going to take another short break, and when we come back, there's actually a major trade, multiple trades that happened in the NFL as well that needs to be discussed, and we'll get right on that when we return.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA, from the UFC to extreme cage fighting. They got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the GSMC Sports Podcast. Just finished talking about Sean Payton and his thoughts about the new head coaching signings this year, as well as Tyreek Hill and his pending decision regarding the investigation of child abuse in his home. And moving on to the trading news that happened in the offseason already. I think it was yesterday, or maybe the day before, that the Philadelphia Eagles have traded for running back Jordan Howard of the Chicago Bears for a 2026 round pick. I'm sorry, a conditional pick. As in, for nothing. The 2026 sixth round pick is actually for Quinn of the Dolphins, edge rusher to Dallas, which we also will talk about. But the fact is, Jordan Howard has had multiple 1,000-yard seasons. He's gained 3,370 yards in his first three seasons, which is third in the NFL. And he scored 24 touchdowns in that time. And they just gave him away. And I'm not exactly sure what the Bears are doing here. I thought he did perfectly fine last season. I didn't see any reason to trade him for a conditional pick. Like, I would expect like a third-round pick at best. He's worth a third-round pick, in my opinion. And it's crazy to think they gave away with him for so little. Unknown why. I haven't seen any reason why they would give him up to me. Maybe contract purposes for the future? I really don't know the actual answer. But hopefully we'll find out more soon. But I'm assuming it's going to be for contract purposes. Well, let's look at his current... Well, he's on a rookie contract still. Maybe they are more thinking about a contract extension for the future. I mean, let's look at his current contract. It's a rookie deal. It's only a 3-year deal at the moment. Well, it's a 4-year, $2.5 million deal. He was going to be a free agent starting next season. So, yes. It was $2 million cap hit. So, it was, I guess, does help the fact that it was going to be a lot of money for this season, but his current dead contract only for the Bears is $62,000. So it's basically no dead cap at all for the Bears at the time. So, and the reason he's getting $2 million this year is proven performance bonuses earned. And last year he was getting $630,000 for that year. Now he's getting $2 million. So obviously he was a fifth round pick. That's why his contract was so low. So obviously this next season after this season, he's going to get a massive contract extension if he gets another 1,000-yard season around there. So it makes sense in theory to get rid of Jordan Howard. But man, I think they could have kept him. I think you could have re-signed him to a deal, and I think it could have worked out. I think they could have kept him, but obviously they did pay Khalil Mack all that money, and that does put a damper on things when it comes to other contracts they're going to have to pay. So I guess they did have to sacrifice an elite running back, in my opinion, or a potential elite running back in Jordan Howard. And I think that's just interesting to say the least. I don't know who the Bears will have at running back anymore, but I think that's going to hurt them this year. I don't think it'll hurt them by a lot, but I think it's going to hurt them in a part of their offensive game, because he was kind of like an insurance policy, if you will, for Mitchell Trubisky. And with all that being said, it's getting to a point where maybe the Khalil Mack trade, this is where it's going to hurt them more than anything, is these other contracts for other players, you know? So that's where that is hurting. But overall, they still have an elite defense, in my opinion. I think everyone's opinion, they have a top-tier defense in the league. And I think they'll be fine in the long run, but definitely losing a part of that to the running game is going to hurt. But again, with the loss, and then you look at the Eagles side, with the loss of Jay Ajayi to an ACL injury, they needed a running back. And I think that's a huge addition with also the with also the Carson Wentz under center, Alshon Jeffrey at the receiver on the receiver end of things. The Eagles do have a chance to really win the NFC East this year. People are thinking it's going to be the Cowboys, but you know, if I had to make an assumption right now, just based on how I see both teams, I might have to stick with the Eagles and taking them in the NFC East. There's just a lot of times that the Dallas Cowboys have disappointed with a lot of talent on their roster, and that's just how I have always seen it. And is it the coaching? Who knows? But regardless, it's one of those things you're looking at and going, obviously it's between two people. It's between two teams. And between the Cowboys and the Eagles and who's going to take the NFC East. Do I see the Redskins taking it? No. Do I see the Giants taking it? God, no. And that's just what's really going to be going down in the long run is it's basically these two competing between the Eagles and the Dallas, competing for that spot in the NFC East, the top spot in the NFC East and a spot in the playoffs. But it is possible that for them to both make a playoff appearance. One can take wild card and one... I know I'm stating the obvious. That's just how the world works. But I'm saying it's logical for that all to be going down. And just a logical guess. It's not like saying, the Jaguars are going to go to the Super Bowl. Like, you can't really say that quite yet. Or along the terms of, like, a team's going to go 16-0. You can't make these assumptions, but this is a logical explanation of, like, these two teams are probably the most competitive in the NFC East, and they are going to be fighting for that last playoff, for that playoff spot in that sense of their division. So with that being said, there was also another trade regarding an NFC East team. Like I said, the Dallas Cowboys have traded for Robert Quinn of the from the Miami Dolphins for a 6th-round pick, which still proves the fact that the Cowboys or the Dolphins, that matter, are on a complete rebuild mode. They're just getting rid of everybody. This is like a sweepstakes. Here, take this guy. Take this guy. Take that guy. You get a player, and you get a player. Everybody gets a player. That's just like how this is kind of feeling in this situation. So, with that being said, who got the better deal? Jordan Howard for a conditional pick or Robert Quinn for a 6th-round pick? Well, the Dallas Cowboys did need an edge rusher, and they both filled holes. Eagles needed a running back, and Robert Quinn needed an edge rusher. Obviously, this is a very interesting situation, to say the least. But if I had to go with like who got the better trade, I guess you can say, who got the better deal, I think Jordan Howard's a better long-term gain because he's still on a rookie deal. He's still extremely young and still doing a lot productively as a running back. 3,000-yard seasons in his first three seasons is a serious accomplishment. And I think it's gonna be good. I think it's gonna be the better trade overall. I'm not saying Robert Quinn's not gonna do bad. I'm saying he's gonna still contribute as well to that helpful edge rusher for the Dallas Cowboys. But I think Jordan Howard's gonna help in the long run with the offensive with helping on the offensive side, offensive load for Carson Wentz, and not him just worried about the passing game, but him having a good running back and getting production over there. But we're going to take another quick short break, and when we return, we will finish up. We will finish up the show with more talks about the Celtics and who they just banned a fan, and we'll tell you why. Right back right after this. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the final segment of the GSMC Sports Podcast. I will also say this is my last show. I'm moving on to other ambitions, I guess you can say. But I'll tell you more about, I'll say my goodbyes afterwards. I'm just saying that this will be my last show, unfortunately, but it's been one hell of a ride. But moving on to the Celtics, they banned Celtics fan and Banner fan for 2 years for saying a derogatory slur to DeMarcus Cousins of the Warriors. I will not repeat what he said, but I will say it starts with an N, and he has definitely been suspended for that. It's not lifetime; it's just 2 years, as last time I checked. So, with that being said, the fact that this continues to happen in the NBA, these derogatory slurs and this offensiveness, I guess you can say, it's not right. First of all, it's a sport. I'm going on a limb and say maybe he was drinking, which could have been a factor in why he said these things. But that comes out of your mouth is pretty shameful. And overall, you're looking at it's just disappointing. It's to see people do that during a basketball game. No one deserves to be called that. Obviously, you're complete strangers, too. So it's like, why do you have the right to say that? And fortunately, he has been banned. Should have been a lifetime ban. That's not up to me, but it was a poor choice of words, and hopefully he'll never say those things again. But again, it's a real disappointment just that people are like this. And overall, I just wish this would stop, but unfortunately, we're in a world right now that they'll never stop. I don't think there will ever be a time where that will not happen, regardless of what is going on. There will be a fan or two that says some pretty offensive things. It's just kind of how life works. But I think what really brings out the good character in people is how you respond to that, not with violence or not with not with anything like that, but with maybe just ignore them, not respond to them. I know that's hard. It's not easy to not respond to that and not to fight back on that. And like, I've been called derogatory things for being Jewish. Like, I've been in that kind of situation where it's hard not to say, hey, you know what, up yours, and try to fight them on that, basically. So with that being said, I think would be a good example for the kids that you grew up, that are idolizing you as a player, is not react. Like, no one said a thing about DeMarcus Cousins responding to that guy either. I haven't heard a thing about DeMarcus. Like, I give DeMarcus Cousins all the credit in the world because I have heard absolutely nothing about his reaction to that. Either, like, if he just stared at him and starts, like, shook his head. I don't know what exactly he did. But it doesn't seem like it was a violent or a threatening action by DeMarcus Cousins after that guy. So I give him all the credit in the world for... I don't know all the details. It sounds like to me he kept his composure. And that's a big... that is a big character move, in my opinion. So that is a good example to bring on for kids watching you. That's how I always say it. So with that being said, I think that'll be our show today. And that is, this can be my final show. I just want to say, if you agree with me or disagree with me, I loved every second of doing this show. I've always had a great time. I loved always talking about sports, whether it was with Mark Souza or just me. It's been an amazing ride, and I'm going to use this, what I've learned here, to for my future work, and maybe I'll be doing, hopefully I'll be doing something of this same nature in the future, wherever I go. But as for right now, I'm Jeff Malinoff. I'll see you later.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC.